Welcome to Families for Life with Brian and Brian, a podcast of Oak Hill Baptist Church.
On today's episode, we're going to be talking about serious cyber problems.
Hey, Brian, how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited about this episode. We are talking about some mature content.
Yes.
Of course, we are pastors and Christians, so this will be in an appropriate way.
Right.
But it is mature content, so we probably would advise that children not listen to this one.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, if they're younger children, definitely not. Older children with parents, probably.
Maybe you listen to it first.
Yeah.
See what's appropriate for your age children.
Exactly.
But, yeah, we're talking about serious cyber problems. So we're going to be going through really some of the darker things when we talk about the digital world, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and this is one of the things. It's hard and it's awkward. You know, I even feel a little weird talking about it. But that's the thing. We've got to talk about this stuff because this is where it gets really problematic. And if we don't deal with these things, then we're really just kind of why are we even talking about this?
Right. You know? This is stuff that it's reality.
Yep.
And it's out there, and we've got to talk about it because even Christians are affected by this in a great way. Satan can use these things that we're going to talk about today to really hinder our Christian walk, to keep us from following God and to being discipled and reaching out to other people. I think this is the thing. These are the things that are done in secret and in darkness that keep us from living for the Lord.
Well, and you know, the Bible tells us that pride comes before a fall.
Right.
And we'd be prideful if we thought that these things can't touch us.
Right.
So we've got to just be aware of them and humble enough to recognize that we're not immune.
Right.
That way we can go to the Lord and he can protect us from these things.
That's right.
As we live for him.
So let's rip the Band-Aid off here.
Let's do it.
The first subject we're going to talk about is internet pornography.
That's right. Going right for it.
Right for it.
Yeah, so we want to talk about the reality behind this, what really is going on. And so internet porn is just the number one in all categories of online sales.
Yeah, can I just say that when the internet was invented, some of the first websites that were out there were pornographic websites. I mean, we are as soon as something is new or out there, Satan finds a way
to use it
for something bad like this.
That's right. And it is being used to a number that is so extreme. It is hard to imagine. I don't have the statistics for this, but I've heard from a number of very reputable sources that there is one specific porn website that actually gets more hits every day than Google.
Wow.
That's insane.
Well, it's accessed more than games, travel, jokes, health, weather, jobs. I mean, it combined, all those searches combined, it gets more hits.
Yeah. I think I've heard it's like a billion-dollar industry.
Yeah. The scary thing is that the average age of exposure is 11 years old. Now, this is even a couple years ago that this statistic came out. It might even be younger.
I actually looked it up, and it ranges between some people. Some sources quote between 8 years old and like 13.
Wow.
So it's in that age range. So 11 is a pretty general number. That's the average age of exposure. It doesn't mean they're like hooked on it, looking at it all the time, but they've probably seen it.
Well, and the sad reality is when I was a kid, if you wanted to find out information about sex or anything, you had to go to your friends.
That's right.
And get all the misinformation from them.
Yeah.
But nowadays they go to their internet browser and type in sex. And the scary thing is they won't get a Christian perspective.
Oh, no. Yeah.
They won't even get a clinical perspective. They'll get a worldly pornographic, answer to that question.
Yeah. Even searching for some of these statistics, I was very meticulous about how I wrote my questions because I didn't want to find anything I wasn't looking for.
Yeah.
And so you can't keep it out of people's hands nowadays. And this is problematic. There is a problem with this. For many of our listeners, you automatically recognize the problem, but not everybody sees it as a problem. But one of the things that is immediately problematic is that it just causes an unrealistic expectation for real relationships in marriage.
Right.
I mean, it's not real.
Right.
And when people view this and think that this is what real life is like in a marriage relationship, it causes serious marital problems sometimes.
Right. It's like the, you know, on a doctor show, you know, when you watch on TV, I'm sure there are doctors that watch that and they're like, this is nowhere near reality. Right, exactly. You know? Yeah. and you know, anyone that's married knows, if you've ever seen or viewed, you know, that's not reality.
Exactly.
It's fantasy.
Yeah.
And I think we have to realize that, but kids coming into this
right.
don't know that or don't understand that. So their expectations are, this is what sexual relationships and intimacy should be.
Yeah.
And that's not what the Bible teaches at all.
In fact, when I like counsel and talk to guys who are about to be married, I always have like a conversation with them about this. And I'm like, listen, you need to understand what it's really like.
Yeah, I've started doing this as well in marital counseling. I have a separate conversation with a guy and really warning them of the dangers of pornography and how that can really hurt your intimacy with your wife because it's not reality.
Right. Yeah.
So that's good.
It's unreal. It causes unreal expectations. It creates a need for an increased amount of stimulation, constant even. Yeah. Like you just need more and more and more. Things need to be more, just all the different aspects of a sexual relationship have to be heightened.
Doesn't the Bible teach us that sin can never satisfy?
Exactly.
And you always crave more and more and new and different. And that's what happens when we get into pornography.
Right. Yeah. And especially because of the addictive stuff that brain that we talked about before.
Right.
Where if you're constantly watching it, you need more and more in a much faster rate.
Right. And there's science to support that this rewires your brain.
Exactly.
It changes how you think.
Yep.
Makes you lose touch with reality, with even real time.
Time.
It's crazy. And so like our kids are growing up in this, and if they have access, if kids have unfettered access to the internet, you can probably bet that they've seen or looked at something inappropriate. Now I'm not saying they're looking at all the time,
right?
But I guarantee you, if we don't have some sort of protection on the internet, they've seen things they probably shouldn't have seen.
Absolutely. I tell parents all the time, and I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to help people understand the reality.
Right.
That if you're, like you said, if they have unfettered access, or if they are hanging out unwatched with friends who have unfettered access, you might as well just accept the fact that they've already been exposed.
Right.
That's not, you don't freak out. Everything's okay. But that's why we're talking about this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Another thing is it creates an exaggerated understanding of beauty.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to, when everything is shined up and whitewashed and, you know, made perfect in this fantasy, and then you look at reality and it's not that way, you can't appreciate what real beauty is.
Exactly. And so it's impossible to, I mean, men, and I, this is not just a guy problem either. This is guys and girls. The statistics show that
it's rising with women.
For women.
Yeah. Women are the fastest growing users of pornography. Yeah,
it's
now
definitely more guys than ladies,
right.
but it's a problem for both. But, you know, we lose touch with what is actually beauty.
Right.
We think that somebody, and this is a big problem, especially I think for, you know, high schoolers, because they have this ridiculous standard for what a beautiful woman looks like and what a handsome guy looks like.
Right.
It's this insane, you gotta have a 6-pack abs to be, you know, decent looking.
Right. Right.
And that's just, you know, that's not real.
Right.
That's not gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, and it really it degrades women. It also degrades men. It teaches us that people are just objects of pleasure. It does not teach us to appreciate people as real people.
Yeah.
It removes that reality. It removes everything. And just you're looking at somebody on a screen and they are whatever you want them to be. So as an object of pleasure.
And
that's not the way God designed us to see people.
Right. Because, and you were, we were talking about this earlier before we came on and recorded, but you were saying that it really takes away the personal relationship right. aspect. Mm-hmm. There's no relationship. And for some people, that's part of the reason
that's why
this
why
is
they
attractive.
Do it. Mm-hmm.
Right. Because it's easier. It's so much easier to just open up your computer or get on your phone than it is to, right. Tenderly love your wife
right.
before going into the bedroom.
Well, relationships take work.
Exactly.
Right?
Time, energy.
Internet pornography doesn't take any work
exactly.
because it's your fantasy. It's the object
right.
of what you want it to
right.
be.
But yeah. it doesn't, you know.
It is destructive to marital relationships
exactly. yes.
and intimacy in a relationship.
Yes. One of the studies that in our book that we are using, it said that They did a study on a ton of men and a ton of women talking about pornography and whether or not it helped their marriage. Because that's an argument that people like to use, that pornography actually helps the bedroom for marriages.
Oh, wow. I've not heard that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of people that are really like adamant about that. Well, they did a study on it and they showed like no one thought it helped their relationship. Mm. Out of hundreds of people. We're talking hundreds of people that they studied. It had not helped, and it had only caused problems or made it awkward.
Yeah, wow.
And so, you know, we just got to take that seriously.
Well, and here's the sad reality, Brian, is that this is just as pervasive in the church as it is out of the church. Christian men are affected by this as much as they are out in the world. And so we as men have to realize that this is a problem and get a grip on this.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, just like I said earlier, this keeps us from leading our families the way God's called us to. This keeps us from being the servants of God, living up to the expectations of godliness and righteousness that God wants to help us with
right.
and instill in us.
Yeah.
And it makes it hard for us to serve
yeah.
and step up and be what, you know, teachers and deacons and pastors and missionaries and all the things that God has called us to do.
Yeah.
It's hard to do those things when you're ensnared and entrapped
yep.
with internet pornography.
Well, and that's the thing, because pornography is really just sex that is only love for self.
Right.
And that's not how God designed it. God designed sex to be love between a man and a woman in
right.
a marriage relationship.
Right.
And when you're only loving yourself, mm-hmm. you can't serve your family. You can't, like you're saying, all these things. You can't do any of those things if you have not love.
Right.
And so that's the big issue with this, is it really takes away from our love for our spouse. And if you're single and you're listening to this, then your future spouse.
Right.
Or even, and at the end of the day, it's just plain selfishness.
Right.
And so we have to guard ourselves from sin, however it
That's
comes
right.
our way.
That's right. Yeah, I think the first thing that we need to do, you've got some great, you put down some really great things that we need to do. But
sure.
even before that, we've got to come to grips. If this is a problem in your
yes.
life, you have to admit it.
Yep.
And you have to admit it to yourself.
Yep.
And you have to say, okay, God, I need help.
Yes.
I need help. And then you can take the practical steps. So it begins with repentance
mm-hmm.
in our hearts, but repentance is not true repentance without practical steps.
Exactly.
Because all you're doing is saying, I'm sorry, and you fall back into that same trap.
Right.
And I would encourage all listeners, if you're struggling, this to Finally Free by Heath Lambert.
Yes.
That was an amazing book.
It's great because it's got practical tips, but it's not only about just like how to beat pornography or whatever. It's
right.
it's how the gospel sets you free from
right.
it.
Right. Finally Free by Heath Lambert is a great read.
Yep.
But what are some of these other things that could help us?
Yeah, I mean, right off the bat. So once you've admitted this and you're working on this spiritually, the thing to do is get some accountability. Get a software, get something, get people in your life. I mean, I remember being in college, like a group of guys, we all had emails being sent to each other with the report of everything
right.
that was on our phone and computers and everything like that. That's huge. Restrict your access time.
Right.
So for instance, you know, if you're especially a parent and you've got a student who has a cell phone, they're in their bedroom by themselves at night. Parent, I'm just telling you, they are so tempted to look at things and do stuff they shouldn't do.
Yeah. I've had parents that, that I know that had take the phone at night, you know, yes. Hey, it's bedtime. Give me your phone. Yep. I'll take it for the night. That way you don't have, and number one, you're not on social media all night. You're not, you know, it's not a distraction.
You're able to actually sleep.
You're actually able to sleep. Yeah. And so that's a good thing. Or if you have the ability, a lot of the parental controls, you can turn off devices at a certain time, turn off the internet at
a certain
time.
Turn off the Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Yeah. Data. I mean, there's lots of things out there that you can do. And I would be happy to have conversations with parents about the technical things that you can use. I mean, listen, Brian, I'm a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
I have accountability software on my phone, my computer, everything, because I want to be accountable in all the things. I don't want there to even be a temptation there. And so I know that what I'm looking at is being put down. Seen. And if there's something inappropriate, it's going to get reported. And so I'm just saying, as a man, a pastor, this is a temptation for everybody and everybody needs this.
Yeah. For some people, it's something that has to be done right now because it's a current problem.
Yes.
For other people, it's a safety net.
Right.
It's just there so that the temptation is much less powerful.
Right. And it doesn't mean that you're weak. We got to get rid of this stigma. It means that you come to grips with your own sinfulness.
Yeah.
And you want to demolish your pride and humbly say, God, I need help to not be tempted in this area.
Right. And the Bible doesn't say blessed are the people who are super good at resisting temptation all the time. It says blessed are the weak.
Yeah.
Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the humble in spirit. You know, all these things. So we just got to be okay with that and then run to our Savior.
So we as adults need, if we need accountability, if we need to get rid of temptation, we can utilize this, and then we can utilize it for our children as well. If your kid has a phone or a device, please make sure that you have a parent account and a child account set up.
Yep.
That is so important. That right there
can restrict
and limit a lot of things.
Yep.
There's filtering built in. I mean, just right there. Now, kids are smart.
Right.
They can figure out, if you go online, you can find videos on how to get around it.
Well,
that's why you got to kind of stay ahead of that.
And we're going to have a whole episode to talk about a lot of this, like practical things parents can do for accountability that we can all do for accountability.
Right.
So we're going to talk about that. But what you just said is huge, because at the end of the day, you can do everything you can think of humanly possible, and they can still find ways around it. And so that's why we also need to be teaching them and modeling before them a biblical theology of sex and marriage.
Right.
And I cannot tell you how important and healthy this can be. I've even talked to adults who are having issues with children dealing with this kind of stuff. And I'll lay out a biblical framework for sex and marriage and how good it is. And I've had them say, I've never heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, it is straight from the Bible. The Bible is not like sex bad. The Bible is sex good in marriage.
Yeah.
Marriage is one flesh is there's some meaning to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you have marriage counseling with a young couple that's going to get married, you know, it's funny, you'll bring some of these things up and it's like, "Yeah, I think I've heard that, but I've never heard it like I've never heard the theology explained in this way."
Yep.
And you know, it's very helpful to understand that.
Well, and so there are some good resources. One that I just am thinking of, there's one called The Meaning of Marriage by Tim Keller. Highly recommend that. There's so many other great resources out there. If you don't even know what a good biblical theology of sex and marriage is, go find some of these resources. Go check out that book. But then do everything you can to live that out and to teach that to your kids in an appropriate way, age appropriate, all of those things. But that'll go a long way.
Right. And the last thing is to seek help if you need it. Get biblical counseling from a biblical counselor or a pastor, somebody that will help you. I mean, we've had people that have come, and we are not in the business of shaming people. We want to help them live in the Spirit, encouraged and free from all of this stuff. So we've counseled people. We've been their accountability partners, you know, for their software or whatever, you know, but that's part of what we want to help people to do. So,
yeah,
you know, whether you're a part of our church or find a church or a biblical counselor that can help you get free of this. Because here's the secret, Brian. Satan wants to tell us that we cannot be free of this.
That's right. Yep.
He wants all of our secrets to lie in darkness,
yep,
and everything is hidden.
Yep.
But when we expose it to the light of the gospel, we can be free.
Yep.
We can.
That's right.
I believe it with my whole heart.
That's the thing. Coming to Jesus, coming to God, does not bring more shame.
Right.
It releases you from your shame.
There is nothing that the gospel cannot help us to overcome if we would submit our lives to the Lord.
That's right.
It will take work. It will be hard.
Yeah.
There will be temptations down the road. Yeah. But I'm telling you, the gospel can help us to overcome this.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, another similar issue that comes with the digital invasion is the issue of sexting. Sexting is essentially text messages with pornographic images.
And I would also include like DMs or private messages, all that stuff, even if it's not in a text message app.
All the different ways that you can send direct messages to somebody, and you're sending, people will send and receive nude pictures or suggestive pictures of themselves. That's what sexting is.
And this is somewhat of a newer thing in the last several years.
Yeah.
I know this wasn't when I was growing up, of course.
Right. I think for students nowadays, like it's not new to them.
Is it an expectation for students to do this?
Oh, for some, yes. And that's one of the things that our resources were saying, is that it's kind of like a relationship currency.
Wow.
Almost. Mm. And so it's a way in which that you can they feel like they can strengthen their relationships through it, mm, or they can entice somebody into a relationship, or even kind of like threaten people into relationships through it.
Wow.
So it gets dark really fast.
It's dangerous.
It's super dangerous.
Yeah, it says that approximately 13% of students reported that they have sent a sexual text message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 13%.
And nearly 1 in 5 students in the U.S. U.S. middle school or high school, that's 18.5%, said they have received sexually explicit images or videos on their phones or computers.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, it's not like the majority of them are doing this.
That's still high, though.
Oh, it's up there. And they all know about it. They all know about it.
Right.
They know that this is what, you know, and this is primarily an issue for, like it said, middle schoolers and high schoolers, I think. It's much less of an issue for younger children.
Right.
But if it's happening with younger children, it's much, much more dangerous.
I mean, not only is this, is it just like sinful, but it's dangerous.
Yes.
Because, you know, once an image is out there, it's out there. And even if they say, oh, well, this image goes away in 10 seconds or whatever, people can screenshot, can save it, whatever.
And then,
to be honest, it's on a server somewhere.
Right, right. I mean, there's a way. I mean, that's why you don't just throw away your computer. You got to drill holes through it or do something, because you can recover files that have been deleted.
Right. So, I mean, do you really want that image to be out there?
Right.
Potentially forever.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is, you know, like things like Snapchat, you know, those are used for this kind of stuff. And people think like, oh, well, like you said, it gets deleted. Man, people take, and this is the way that a lot of people have gotten in trouble lately. They'll take a picture that they wish they never took, and it goes on some social media for literally like less than an hour, and somebody will take a screenshot of that, and it's over. They've got the picture. It's done.
Yeah.
So it's out there.
Nothing is private on the internet. I mean, people put things on Twitter that they say, or that they have a political people even put a flub out there. Well, it's screenshotted as soon as they put it out there. They'll delete it, but
it's
people still have a picture of it. Yep. So
never going away.
And to be honest, this can become a form of addiction as well. I mean, it's not the proper way to communicate, or you don't want to build a relationship on this foundation.
Right. Well, but I mean, it goes back to the whole pornography issue. I mean, it's easier to send, sexual pictures than it is to have a meaningful conversation.
Right.
And right. And that just goes down to what you're trying to get out of somebody else. They're just an object rather than a person.
Right.
And so it's really, really dangerous. But it's super dangerous because of our next point. It's a felony in all 50 states to send and receive pictures of minors.
I really think you need to tell your kids, especially your older teenagers, mm-hmm. that this can be, I mean, obviously we want to come at it from a theological, you know, this is a sin. You know, we want to talk about it in Christian terms, but practically, this can cause a lot of legal problems.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, one of the authors said that they knew somebody who had done this and they actually spent jail time and are now on the, what's the list called?
It's the sex offender
list? Yeah, the sex offender list. They're on the sex offender list for the rest of their life because they sent they sent a sexed
It's playing message. With fire, really, it is. You know?
And so this is really dangerous. It's a huge problem.
So what do? We've got to teach our children what to do if they're on the receiving end of this, you know?
One of the things to do is, I mean, I personally think that the best thing to do is to immediately tell an authority figure.
Yes.
Some people say delete it immediately. I'm not so sure that that's – you need to tell somebody immediately. That's right. What you need to do. And then go from there.
Yes.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah. As parents, we need to check our phone, our kids' phones or have access to be able to check their messages. Listen, here's the thing. Kids, you know, I remember there's an attitude, even when I was a kid, like, this is my room.
Right.
This is my things. You know, and kids are like that today.
Yep.
With their phone. Yeah. This is my phone. You don't have any. Well,
right.
Here's the thing. If they're living under your authority as the parent, they really don't own anything.
That's exactly right.
And you have the right to check. Now, I mean, we want to respect their privacy to an extent, but you're also their parent and you're responsible for them.
That's right.
So you have to say, listen, because I'm your parent and you're a kid, I'm going to check your social media. I'm going to check your texts. I'm going to do...
Right.
Checks every now and then because I want to keep you accountable and not just give you free rein to look at or do whatever you want.
Yep. And one of the things to keep in mind, and I was just thinking about this, if your student receives one of these, you know, especially if it's from an older person, the reason why I say don't necessarily delete the text immediately, I mean, get the phone out of the kid's hand. But that call the authorities,
right?
And then because that person needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, if there's a legal something that needs to happen, you need to take care of that.
And so you need to have you need to have some of the kind of information available,
right?
But you know, once you've done that, then you're on the right track, and that's why we got to be checking the phones. But we just got to be really teaching. From a biblical perspective, what sexuality is about. We need to be teaching students really about marriage.
Yeah, and this is not something that you just have to talk with them at one point. Right. You know, it's
not the birds and the bees.
Right. This is an ongoing conversation because of the nature of the world and because of the way things are. If your kids are out in it, which they all are, you have to have conversations from them from time to time about these kind of topics. And listen, it's uncomfortable, but if you have an open dialogue with them about these kind of things and not angry, not judgmental, they will come to you and begin to ask you questions about different things.
And it helps if you, and it might be hard, but if you do your best to have more of a nonchalant sort of attitude, not saying that it like doesn't matter to you, but you're basically just showing your student as you're talking about it, like, hey, this is not weird. This is not awkward. And I'm not going to act like it's awkward.
Well, the worst thing you can do is freak out.
That's right.
And, you know, smash their phone or just go ballistic. The best thing you can do is sit down and say, listen, let's talk about why we need to be careful when we're online, when people are texting us, what we say to people, what they send to us, and show them, you know, from a really calm Christian perspective, why this is so dangerous and what God's expectation of us is.
Yeah. And that helps. I mean, it really, for parents, it really helps for you to be living this out in your own relationships, in your own marriage, because if your kids hear you saying this, but they don't see you loving your wife or loving your husband, it's not going to mean a whole lot to them.
Right. Exactly.
So there's more though.
Yeah. Our next topic here is really kind of a newer thing, I think. Mm-hmm, I mean, it's yes. probably been around, but it's worse now than ever. And we're talking about cyberbullying and cyber stalking.
That's right.
And so this is really, really dangerous. You know, we talk about stalking that more than 1 million women and 370,000 men are stalked annually in the United States.
Yeah, cyber stalked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
An astonishing 1 in 12 women and 1 in 45 men will be stalked in their lifetime. So this is somebody that's intentionally seeking information, trying to right. learn things about someone, and it goes beyond...
It's not just like Facebook stalking, like what we say.
Right. You know? We joke around about that. Mm-hmm. This is actually intentionally trying to...
Like, know everything about somebody
right.
for not such good uses.
Right. And this is, you know, I will give kudos to some of the social media things because they have started to hide details
yeah.
and, you know, you can really lock down. I would encourage if your kids have a social media thing like Facebook or mm-hmm. whatever, make sure those details are locked down to where somebody can't just see where they live,
right.
You know, what their age is, when their birthday is, all those types of yeah. things. And that they have to actually be friends with that person before they can start to see information.
Yep. Yeah. There's good ways to just kind of control that info. But this cyber stalking really kind of moves right into, it can move into bullying, cyber bullying doesn't necessarily go with cyber stalking, but they usually, if somebody's cyber stalking somebody, they're going to end up really
like, they can go hand in hand.
Yes, yeah. they can. And so cyberbullying is basically when somebody repeatedly threatens, harasses, mistreats, or makes fun of somebody on purpose, online, or while using like cell phone, electronic devices, things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, based on this definition, 34% of students have experienced cyberbullying in their lifetime. That's crazy, isn't it?
That's a lot of people. And so, you know, what is
that? I mean, I remember when I was a kid, if you were getting picked on at school, you could at least go home and be away from it. Now, because of the nature of phones and other things, kids sometimes never get away from it.
Yep.
And people can put things out there about, you know, if I'm bullying you, I can say the worst things about you online and everyone sees it.
Yep.
It's awful.
It's terrible. I mean, most of this stuff. Oh, well, actually, here's an interesting tidbit. 12% of the students admitted that they had also cyberbullied other people at some point in time in their life. And what's interesting, one of the other sources I was reading said that many students actually flip-flop back and forth. So they are cyberbullied and they also are cyberbullies.
Wow.
And it just kind of depends on their, you know, the day, honestly.
Yeah.
So this is a constant and common problem.
Well, and I think we can see students. The problem here. I mean,
yes,
where people are harassing, they're threatening, it's affecting someone's ability to feel safe. You know, especially if this revolves around like a school.
Oh yeah. You've got people threatening on your phone and you're like, well, I don't want to go be around that
right,
person now.
Right. And really, what are they there to do at school? They're there to learn,
yep.
you know, they're, and all of that is being affected by that. You know, it destroys their self-esteem and really hurt. And to be honest, Brian, this can lead to suicide.
It can.
I mean, kids that have taken their life or attempted to take their life have directly been affected by cyberbullying.
Yep. That is one of the things that they say can come from this and does come from this. So it is serious.
So, I mean, we've got to think, what are some things that we can do to proactively
combat this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously we got to report this. And I was even looking on some websites and the way that they dealt with it was really cool. They were like, don't just report it to the teacher. You know, I've actually heard students be like, well, I told my teacher, but they didn't do anything. And it's like, you know, I don't know the whole situation behind that, but many of the websites say, don't just tell a teacher, like you and me, you just tell everybody, you tell right. the teacher, principal, superintendents, then you go even higher than that and you're writing emails. I mean, like if it doesn't go away fast, you deal with it right. and you go all in.
Yeah. And if you see something, you know, take a screenshot. Like I said, things can be deleted.
Yep.
You know, try to get that evidence. So it's not, right. He said, she said, it's, you have that. This is what this person said,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah.
The other thing, and it's really hard to do, I think, but you do your best to just cut ties with cyberbullies.
Right.
You know, you're blocking numbers, things like that. And that's one way that can help. But I really think reporting is big. But another,
then,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, and then, you know, we've got to teach kids that their confidence is in Christ. You know, it's we've got to make sure that every child, every student knows that they are made in the image of God, that they are special to God, and that even if like the teenager years can be awkward, you know, and pimply and weird, and you're going through puberty, God still sees you as a beautiful, awesome person. And we need to make sure everybody knows that. And I get it. That sounds cliche coming from your parents sometimes, but we just have to make sure that we really make sure to really press that into our kids over and over and over again.
For me, as somebody who I've been bullied a lot, and I know hearing that from my parents, it wasn't my mom saying, well, I think you're beautiful. It wasn't that. It was no, this is what God thinks about you.
Right.
And there were times where I was like, okay, I get it. But that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, self-esteem is good. But here's the thing about bullying that we don't really think about sometimes is that we already think we're awesome. The problem is that person doesn't think I'm awesome. Mm. And they keep telling me that I'm not awesome. What's wrong with me, even though I think I'm awesome, but they don't think I'm awesome? What's wrong? Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we've got to have a biblical understanding of this so that it's like, no, this is who you really are.
Right.
And no matter what that person says, it doesn't matter what you think or what they think. God is the one who tells you who you really are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that'll keep you strong.
Yep.
That'll keep you able to withstand any bully.
And I really think it's important. This is why we work so hard in our youth group to have an accepting, loving youth group.
Absolutely.
Now our kids aren't perfect,
right.
but I will say this, you know, if you have a church that has a youth group, go talk to the youth pastor.
Yeah.
And you know, hey, how do you encourage acceptance? How do you encourage these things in your youth group? Because this is, I will tell you, for a kid that maybe goes to school and doesn't have a lot of friends, or maybe they just feel weird or awkward, or maybe they get bullied, the youth group can be salvation in that sense, because they find their friends, they find their joy, they find everything in that. And it's so important that we make the church a place of acceptance, no matter who you are, no matter what you look like, no matter how awkward you may be, we love you.
Yeah, that's right. Jesus died for you. I mean, like, so this is really important stuff, but there's some other things.
Yeah. The chapter mentions some things that we don't really want to get into, but I definitely think that
they're important, it's though.
Important.
Yeah.
One of the things was internet gambling.
Yeah.
And the reason I mentioned this is, we live we're in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
and we're a state that has online gambling.
Yeah.
And it won't affect your children or teenagers that much, but if we're thinking like college students and adults, one of the biggest sources of gambling right now is sports betting.
Yep.
And they have fantasy football. I don't want to mention any of the companies I don't want to promote them.
But, right.
But there's fantasy football. There's all kinds of stuff, and you can gamble. Now, listen, to me, gambling is a lot like my view on alcohol.
Right.
Is it wrong to drink? No, the Bible doesn't say it's sinful. Is it a sin to be drunk?
Right.
Can you get addicted? You know, can these things wreck your life? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to say it's wrong to place a bet, but I will say gambling that affects your life, it's easy to get addicted. It's easy to start taking money that you need to live for, to pay your bills.
It destroys people's lives, and it can
destroy you.
It does. And you know, I'm not, okay, and here's what's interesting. You know that I'm not like a huge sports guy.
Right.
I've never placed a bet in my entire life. And I'm getting ads like
when
I'm just watching TV or, you know, on social media all the time for these sorts of things. And it's like, so they're out there, and it's something to watch out for.
Yeah. Gambling is it's a trap that will get us,
and they're trying to get
you. Careful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, that's, I always heard those casinos in Las Vegas were not built on giving people money, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so gambling is rigged. You may win big once or twice, but they're going to win most of the time.
That's right.
So that's one thing. What are some of the other things we need to be aware of?
Another huge thing is internet video gaming addictions.
Oh yeah.
You can get addicted to video gaming so
this
fast.
Is adults as well.
Oh yeah.
You know, and there's always like a hot game, like a few years ago it was Candy Crush, you know, and everybody's playing that. Yep. Or, you know, a lot of people play these it's like a first-person shooter. Mm-hmm. Call of Duty came out on your phone or something. Yep. And so kids get into that. And what's the problem with these things?
Right. Well, I mean, video games are great. I mean, some are inherently, they have sinful things in them. But a lot of them are really good things. You can play with your kids. You can have a good time with them. And then you can get addicted to them. Like, right. and it's the same thing. It's the same concept. This can ruin. I mean, I know men who have ruined their families because mm-hmm. they would go to work and they'd work all day. It's like good for them. And then they would come home and they would literally play video games all day and all night the rest of the time that they were mm-hmm. off. And they have ruined their families because they were so addicted to gaming that they could not spend time with their kids.
Yeah. You get home, you turn on your Xbox, you put the headset on and you just, you know, I get that there can be a relational social component to that, but if that's all you're doing or that's, you know, if that becomes, you know, what you're all about, that's
life.
A problem.
Yeah, that's right.
That's really a problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's another thing, virtual worlds that people mm-hmm. get into, you know.
I think it's kind of like the next step.
You have the immersive, you know, there's even like 3D mm-hmm. worlds. And again, these things are not bad in themselves. I think we just got to control these things and be careful and say, don't let these things take control of us. Paul says, you know, I'm not going to be mastered by anything. He wants Christ to be his master, not anything else in
and
life.
That's the thing.
And that applies so much to the digital world. Right. I'm not going to be mastered by any of this.
That's right. It's who's your Lord. You know, that's the main thing. I mean, we love Jesus. Do we love Jesus more than video games? Do we love Jesus more than virtual reality?
Here's a big one that affects really a lot of people. And it's more and more is just streaming.
Yeah.
Netflix, Prime,
everybody,
Hulu, whatever. I mean, everything is streamed and you can binge watch so much stuff. I mean, there's literally probably not enough time in someone's life to binge watch everything.
No.
I mean, you could just watch hours out of the day.
Yep.
Now, I get it. Sometimes it's fun just to turn your brain off, mm-hmm. binge watch a few episodes, whatever.
Yep.
A new show comes out, you want to knock it out. But if this is what our life becomes about, it ends up wasting so much time,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just a time waster. And then the other problem is, Brian, what you said, there are adults and teenagers that literally have a show on or something on 24/7.
That's exactly what I was going to mention. And it's like, they can't even go to sleep. We'll be on, and I'm not trying to hate on anybody, but, be on mission trips or at camp and people will be laying in their bunk beds, holding their phones up above their face just to watch their show. And they can't, it's not that they just like it. It's that they cannot go to sleep without it being on now.
Right.
They're dependent now. I mean, that's where it's like, okay, now you're at a problem.
Yeah.
When you become dependent on this.
Yeah.
That means it has control over
your
life. Yeah.
Listen, you're not okay with silence.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't sit in silence, you have to have something in the background all the time. That's a problem.
And
I will tell you, God, the time that we commune with the Lord, where we're reading, we're praying, we're a lot of times you need silence for that. And if all we're getting is, you know,
noise,
you know, stuff coming mm-hmm. into us, we're receiving all the time. We don't really have time to reflect and focus on God in our lives.
Right. Well, and even from a scientific standpoint, your brain can't actually process it all anyways.
Right.
But I know, I mean, I used to have the TV on at night all the time. I was one of those people. And I noticed when I cut that out, I recognized that as a problem. And when I cut it out, I felt better. I was in a much better
place. Well, you feel weird
at
first, right?
Oh, it was super hard. It was like cutting out an addiction.
Yeah.
It really was, because you're addicted to the sound, to the stimulation.
Right.
And you cut that out and it's like you almost go through withdrawals.
Yeah.
And then eventually you detox you're better. So it's really important.
So these are just things we wanted to mention that people need to be aware of, things that can they're not inherently bad.
Yeah. Well, but, some of them are.
But well, some yeah. of them are.
Yeah.
the last couple things.
The last few things aren't. Yes, yes, yes.
But they're really things that can grab hold of us yep. and, you know, just bring us to a bad place.
Right. But the thing is, we don't want to live in fear of this stuff.
Right.
We're not trying to say, watch out for this and make sure you're looking behind your back all the time. You know, make sure you're totally scared that your kid is watching porn all the time. No, no. Like we're not saying be freaked out all the time. We're saying be aware, give control of your life to the Lord.
Right.
And take practical steps right. to just safeguard man. Yourself.
Yeah, we do not have to live by a spirit of fear. The Bible tells us we have a spirit of power.
That's right.
Of love and of self-discipline.
Amen. That's what we need.
That's the verse. I'm telling you, Brian, when I think about these things, that verse resonates in my mind so much.
Yep.
We do not have to be fearful of these things. Through the Holy Spirit, we have power, love, and self-discipline.
And self-discipline. Yep. And that's that's what we need in order to overcome these things. And we already have it. If you're a believer in Christ, you've got what you need.
Yep.
And so the other thing to do is then to just have accountability in your
yes.
life.
I'm telling you, if we refuse to have accountability or be accountable to, I mean, the Bible teaches that we need accountability
yeah.
so much. In fact, I would argue that one of the main functions of the church is accountability.
I 100% agree with that.
To encourage and challenge and rebuke and teach, all of that helps
yep.
us to grow in our faith, and we need to seek that in our lives.
Absolutely.
Sin will grow when there's no accountability.
That's absolutely right. And so we've got to have people who know our business.
Right.
It doesn't mean everybody needs
right.
to know our business.
Right.
But we got to have people who do. And then the final thing, and this is really the most important mm-hmm. thing, is that we need to go to Jesus. We need to go to him in God's word, and we need to see and accept and receive the forgiveness that he gives,
yes,
the endurance that he gives, the comfort that he gives. Maybe you've fallen in these areas. Maybe you've ruined your family. Maybe you've already experienced some of the really devastating things that come from this stuff. Jesus gives you comfort and healing.
Mm.
He heals the brokenhearted.
That's right.
Go to him and experience the promise of fulfillment in your life. Life yeah. abundant and
that's,
free.
That's what the gospel is all about. He gives beauty for ashes,
yeah.
joy for mourning. You know, it's all of those things where God takes our brokenness
mm-hmm.
and gives us something beautiful from it. So I can bring my sin and yep. my ruin and everything and say, Jesus, can you do anything with this?
Yep.
And he wipes it away,
yep.
transforms us by the power of the gospel, and we are new.
Right.
See, this is the big thing, Brian. We are a new creation in
right.
Christ. So we need to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh.
Amen.
We only do that through Jesus.
That's right. So we got to go to him. And if you're struggling with that and you go to our church, we're here for you.
Right.
Please reach out. If you're not connected to us, like, please make sure you find a biblical, godly pastor who you can reach out to, or just a biblical, godly person you can reach out to who can really help you. Just restore your relationship with Christ.
That's right. This is some tough stuff, but man, there is hope.
Yes.
And there is encouragement that the Lord can help us with all of these things. And we as parents can face these challenges and be okay to lead our families through this crazy world.
Yes, that's right. So, well, I thought this was a great topic. We've got a lot more to keep talking about. And
that's it. See you next time. Hey, it's Brian Van Doren. It's Brian Gocher
and Brian Van Doren.
We should just be like
just pretend to be the other person.
I'm Brian Van Doren
and I'm Brian Gocher. I spell my name wrong.